James, please, book of James. Thank you so much for being here, and what a joy it is to be with you this evening. We're going to continue studying here the book of James, and of course we talked about this man James and who he possibly was, who scholars tend to think that he was, and these different things about his life. And we're going to continue to talk about the beginning statements that James made here in chapter 1 and how they can help us as believers in Christ. Remember that the book of James is known as the Proverbs of the New Testament. And so these are going to be some things that are going to help us in our lives day by day. I hope that maybe during your reading time in the scriptures, maybe you do like a lot of people do, and that is read at least one proverb every day. The best way to do that is just kind of get your calendar out. And like, for instance, today you should have read perhaps Proverbs 26. And maybe you read that proverb today because it just matches up with the calendar. You say, what do you do if there's only 30 days in a month? Well, on the last day, just read 30 and 31, okay? And just get it done. And then start back over on the first with number one, all right? And then you say, what about February? Well, read a whole bunch more, okay? And if it's a leap year, you just have to read one day less, you know, exactly. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, we're just going to read these first 11 verses. I'll read out loud. You follow along silently here in James chapter 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. As we continue to look at these things of the book of James, please understand that James is probably one of the most practical books in the New Testament. Okay? It really is kind of low shelf wisdom. Okay? You don't have to be a scholar. You don't have to really, if you will, read between the lines. It's just kind of like this. You know, it's just right there. And just let it grab a hold of you. Let it sink in. Let it really affect your life. And just maybe just sit back and say, yeah. Yeah, that's what I need in my life now. That's what I need in my life today. Or maybe have one of these moments. That's what's wrong. Okay, I do that a lot. I mean, there's a mark here permanently from my hand. Okay, or perhaps, you know, kind of go like, you know what? I knew that, and I should do that. You know, that's okay. All those responses are very appropriate, but you know what? At least make a response. Don't just sit there and let it go. Or, you know, either way. But let it soak in. Let it really hit you where you live, okay? Let it make a difference in your life. James was a very humble man. He never tried to take his supposed brothership with the Lord Jesus Christ. He never tried to let that go to his head and think that he was something special. We do believe that this James was the half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he didn't use that as
a step up to try to get an advantage on anybody. He just wanted to communicate to his fellow believers in his Savior. Okay? Now, he didn't go around saying, hey, I believe in my brother. Okay? As far as we know, we don't know that he did that. But he did believe in Jesus Christ as his Savior. He said he was just a servant of God and a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. So James said, hey, I'm a servant of God. I'm a servant of the Lord. I want you to be a better servant of God, a better servant of the Lord as well. And you know what? Many believe that he was also the pastor at the church in Jerusalem. That's a pastor's heart. I don't think I'm better than any of you. I think I'm actually worse than many of you. I really believe that. You know what? But that doesn't matter where we rest on this level here in humanity, whether we're better or worse than somebody else. What matters is that we're servants of God and that we serve the Lord together. And we serve the Lord the best of our abilities. Your abilities may be more than my abilities. You know what I say to you? Go for it. Serve God better than I can serve God. I double dog dare you, okay? I mean, I want you to. That won't make me look bad. That'll make our Savior look good. And I'm for that. I think that was James' attitude. I don't think that he was nervous or worried about it, that he maybe wasn't one of the 12 apostles, but rather he just thought that Christians everywhere should be better Christians everywhere. I'm for that. I think that's how it should be in our local churches. You know, it's not this way here, I know that, but it is this way in other churches. There's some feuds and some falling outs because of those kinds of thoughts in a local church. And let me just steal a portion of a Bible verse if that's okay with you. Brethren, these things ought not so to be. Okay? It just shouldn't be that way amongst us. We're working together. We're the body. Remember, we talked about how the finger's not supposed to, you know, be better than the eye and the foot and the, you know, say, I want to be this and I want to be that. And no, we just need to be the best part that God has made us in this body of Christ that we can be. So last week we talked about the introduction. We also talked about facing adversity in our Christian life. Adversity is going to come. We talked about there, here it says in verse 2, where James says, my brethren, count it all joy when. Did you notice that the Bible did not misprint that particular word? He did not say, my brethren, count it all joy if ye fall into diverse temptations. No, he very appropriately and very correctly said, count it all joy when. Folks, it's going to come. You say, what? I don't know. You don't know. Only God knows. Can I tell you something? Not everything in life affects people the same way. We all have different responses to different circumstances. There are things that I can take that you can't take. And vice versa. If there are things that you can take and handle that I can't take and handle. We're all different. Some of us can handle this particular adversity well, but maybe not this particular adversity well. And guess who knows all of that about us? God does. And you know, sometimes, I love this. I love it when people say, they go down to an altar at a youth conference or at a youth camp, and they say, Lord, I surrender to go be a missionary anywhere except. And I just mark her down. Whatever country they say is the country he's going to call them to, okay? God knows that I love winter. Now, I never challenged God. I never told God I wouldn't go anywhere hot. Okay? But he still put me here. I was at an altar and said, God, don't send me to Canada. God, don't send me to North Dakota. God, don't send me to Antarctica. You know, I was trying to reverse psychology, you know. I didn't. No, I was actually open to anywhere God wanted me. And guess what? I think God has a sense of humor. He puts this 40 below zero, 18 foot of snow loving North Dakota farm boy in Texas. I haven't seen a good snowfall in years. You say, what is this? We just had one. No, that wasn't it. You have no idea. Now, some of you are from the north, maybe, and you understand. Come on, Brother Wisconsin. Back me up here. Yes. Hallelujah. And, you know, some Illinoisans up there. Yeah, you guys know what I'm talking about. You even get some snow over there in North Carolina, don't you? Yeah. Yeah. And so, anyways, but God wants us everywhere to be Christians everywhere. No matter where we are, no matter what difficulties are going to come in our lives. And guess what? He says, count it all joy. Now, again, I'm not going to re-preach all that we said last week. I just wanted to kind of get you back into what we're talking about as we move forward. Now let's go to verse 3. He says, knowing this. Okay, so notice that there's a semicolon there at the end of verse 2. So he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Knowing this. Okay, so he says, this thing of divers temptations are going to come in your life. I want you to count it all joy. And knowing this, knowing that you can count it all joy, knowing that you are going to go through divers temptations, he says, knowing this. So we ought to take note. We ought to step back and say, okay, God is speaking to us through someone who calls himself a servant of God, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's our brother. He is a fellow saint. He's a fellow Christian. And quite possibly, he's a pastor. He's someone who knows about these things. And he says to us, this is going to happen in your life. Count it all joy. But he says, knowing these things, okay, and I'm here, I'm going, okay, all right, I'm realizing what's happening here. I need to open my ears. I need to open my mind. I need to prepare myself because he says, knowing this, what's next? And you ought to be on the edge of your seat saying, okay. Do you see what we should be reading here? But most of the time, when we read through the Bible, we just read. We just say, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of us. We just missed everything. Because we didn't take the time to prepare ourselves for what's coming next. He says, hey, divers temptations are going to happen. Count it all joy when you experience these things. And knowing this, get ready. He says this. Knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. You see, this is the key to why we can count it all joy. This is the key that divers temptations must enter into our lives. Notice I said must. It is necessary for God to work on us. Would you rather that God just left you alone? You know, sometimes as I'm raising my children, I get frustrated. You can't imagine that, I'm sure. And oftentimes I'll say, look, I said, I know you don't like me getting after you. And I know you don't like me punishing you. And I don't know you don't like me yelling at you. I said, you know what? How about this? I'm tired. And I'm just going to leave you alone. I'm not going to work with you anymore. I'm frustrated. So I'm just not going to... And you know what? They're like, they don't know what to say. I mean, at first they're all complaining because I'm yelling at them or getting after them or punishing them, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But when I say, I'm done, fine, go do what you want to do. Keep doing those things. Keep making those decisions. I'm done. I'm done helping. I'm done punishing. I'm done working. I'm finished. And they just look at you like this. Folks, what is love? What is care? It's working on somebody. You know, people want to criticize conservatives for discipline and perhaps corporal punishment, etc. That's not abuse. Now there is something called abuse. There is abuse. Okay, I'm not saying there isn't. There is. But there's also correct punishment of a young person. And if you don't, I say you don't care. And if you don't, I say, and the Bible says, you don't love. Because that's what love is. Love is enough care to say no. Love is enough to say, don't do that. Love is to say to someone, hey, if you continue to do that, you're going to ruin your life. You may not believe this, but I've actually looked at some of my children and told them. I said, if you keep doing this, I'm going to end up coming and visiting you in prison. If you keep making these choices, if you keep defying the things that I'm trying to teach you, I said, I can show you how this behavior leads to imprisonment. And I'm going to have to get a visitor's pass and take a class to be able to be a volunteer at a prison ministry to come visit you. It's true. There are many in this church that can tell you that. They can even tell you some of the warning signs that they have seen in people's lives of the people that are in prison today. This is what we're talking about. He says that this trying of your faith worketh patience. Now you say, where are you going with all this? I'm going to draw the net here in just a moment. People get mad. They get frustrated. They get upset. They get depressed that all these bad things are happening in their lives. They say, God doesn't care about me. Why would God let this happen to me? I'm a good person. I go to church. I've given my life to the Lord. I've done this. But yet, I have this financial struggle. And I can't get this job, or this disease is in my life, or this difficulty, or this thing has happened, or this loved one has died, and all these things. God, why are you doing this to me? They need to go back and read these first three verses of the book of James. Because it tells us why. That it's necessary for these things to come into our life for our benefit. For our good. He says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Let me ask you a question. When a diver's temptation comes into your life, what does that spur? Faith. It spurs faith. Because you have this thing and you're reading your Bible and you're praying and you're tithing and you're going to church and you're going out soul winning and you're teaching a Sunday school class and this thing comes in your life, you have a choice. You can embrace it with joy and have faith in God. Or you can reject it with grief and be faithless. It's our choice, isn't it? God says that when these things come in our life and we do this, God, you're my refuge, you're my strength, you're my help in my time of trouble. Lord, I need you. Lord, hold on to my hand. God, guide me through this. I know that this is some... Hey, what does that remind you of? I could stop at any place here and read a story to you and tell you. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright. And one that feared God and eschewed evil. This is a good guy. He doesn't deserve anything bad. He's one of God's heroes, right? One of God's champions. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500. Yeah, Job's got lots to be happy about. He's got joy coming out of everywhere. What happened to Job? While he was yet speaking, there came another. While he was yet speaking, there came another. While he was yet speaking, there came another. Just. Hit after hit after hit. Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head. Fell down and worshipped upon the ground. Fell down upon the ground and worshipped. I think maybe Job knew to count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Because he fell down on the ground. And listen, it doesn't mean there's an absence of grief. It doesn't mean there's an absence of sorrow. It doesn't mean it doesn't hurt. But we can count it all joy. He fell down on the ground and worshipped, and he said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Now, in Job's life, do you suppose that this worked patience? Yes, it did. Because when his wife got mad at him, what did he say? "I'm still going to serve God." When his friends, oh lovely friends, when his friends came. Now he had some debate back and forth with them, but overall, wasn't he pretty patient? Absolutely. So this is a very important thing. As we continue to look at this, and we're going to talk about this a little bit more next week, but it says that the trying of our faith worketh patience. James wasn't one of the apostles, but he knew them well, didn't he? And he knew the stories, and if indeed he was the pastor of the church there at Jerusalem, I'm sure he heard all the stories. And I've preached this before on this subject about faith, that we understand that there were times where the disciples were accused of having no faith. And there were times where the disciples were accused of having little faith. And they were encouraged to have much faith. And then there was even a time where Jesus said, I have not seen so great faith in all of Israel. And it wasn't even talking about one of the disciples. How about that? Folks, our faith needs to be exercised. Just as a grain of mustard needs to grow up into a tree, our faith doesn't need to stay as small as a grain of mustard seed. It needs to grow up into that tree of the mustard plant that it ought to be. How is that going to happen if it's never tried? When you're put in a position where you've got to really rely on God, that's when your faith is exercised. Let me ask you a question. If you always have enough money to pay the bills, where's the faith in that? I mean it. I'm not being critical. Where's the faith in that? If you never have a sickness, you never have an illness, you never have a difficulty, honestly, where's the faith in that? The Bible says the just shall live by faith. Do you suppose that it's because the world hates the just? Do you suppose that it's because the just are the ones that are maligned? Do you suppose it's the just are the ones that are attacked? Now listen, folks, if you stand up and be the righteous person in your workplace, guess what you're going to be? Persecuted. Who likes the person that tells the truth at work? Nobody. Right? Because the little white lie didn't hurt anybody, right? And you know what? How dare you show me up by you doing what's right? You're making me look bad. I'm going to get a bad review and I'm not going to get that promotion. You little goody two-shoes. I'll show you. Huh? What's this whole world all about? Stepping on other people to get to the top. And if you're upright and just and honest and of a good report, guess what? They hate your guts. You know what? I get a prayer request. Pastor, pray for us. Our AC went out. I should say, you count it all joy, brother. Go suck on an ice cube. You'll feel better later. You know, I'm trying to really bring this home today. God says, this is the way to live. The trying of your faith worketh patience. Do you know what we all need? We need patience. Look at verse 4. He says, but let patience have her perfect work. Now, I don't have time to get into this tonight, but it's pretty interesting that he calls patience a her. Isn't that cool? Now, maybe you can do a little study in this on your own. There's a couple other elements in the Bible that he calls hers. Okay? It's really neat to look at this. Patience is one of them. All right? There's some others in there. I'll give you a clue. One of them is found in verse 5. It's another her, a female attribute given there. Okay, it's a her. By the way, we can jump on and off this soapbox really quick. There's a his and a hers. Okay, it didn't mean that patience identified as this, but it was given to her. Okay, no, but let patience have her perfect work. So you're saying that these diverse temptations, these difficulties, this trying of my faith, which is going to result in some sorrow, maybe some hurt, maybe a little depression, maybe a little bit of negative things in our lives, whatever it may do, it says that it's a perfect work. And it has to be done in us, look at what it says here, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You see, boy, this temptation, this difficulty, these things in my life, this trying of my faith has left me wanting a lot. I need air conditioning. I need relief from this sorrow. I need relief from this pain. I need, or whatever the case may be. But it says that this perfect work that's being done in us through this process makes us complete. Makes us entire. Makes us to where we're wanting nothing. Because here it is, right here. All in a nutshell, we'll have an invitation. When we go through this process, we are so firmly seated in the hand of Almighty God that everything's all right. Because that's where it places us. Because guess who we need patience with? Him. And this trying of our faith, these diverse temptations, these difficulties are bringing us to a place so that where we're so firmly seated in God's hand that nothing can faze us. How in the world did Job make it through his circumstances? He was right there. Right in the hand of God, and nothing could faze him. Not all the power of the devil, not all the difficulties that he could throw at him, to the point to where it was only the not taking of his life that was required. That, my friends, is amazing. How could he be so unmovable? How could he be so unshakable? Because Job had these things in his life. You and I can have the same in our lives, if we're willing to go through these things. Now, I'm not saying that you should call out to God and say, God, hit me with everything you got. That would be really stupid. Okay? But why don't you just take them as they come, counting it all joy, going through these things, allowing this to have its perfect work, so that you can be what God wants you to be. You see, most of our lives are spent trying to become what we want to be. We need to allow this process to take place so that we can become what God wants us to be.